Welcome to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield as we broadcast on location from Commodity Classic, which is underway in Houston, Texas. As many of you will be viewing this, it'll be in the final day of Classic with a great show that's taking place over this past week. We're going to kind of talk about Commodity Classic in the sense of what were folks talking about when they stopped by the booth here, and more importantly, what the heck happened to these markets this week and the wild fun ride that it was. Stick around. We've got more coming up as we continue.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops. Pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber. And the future of Nebraska starts right here.
Well, welcome back as we continue now. Joining me, I'm in the booth with agmarket.net, and Tyler Shaw joins us, and Jim McCormick, who Jim was on Friday's Channel Final Bell with us, and got a variety of different things. I wanted to start out by asking, Tyler, I'm going to start with you. Commodity Classic this week, you've had folks stopping by the booth. Anything that they brought of questions or concerns to you?
There's been a lot of questions about what do we do now. There's been a lot of producers that maybe weren't quite prepared for what's happened, and so we've been answering a lot of those. All right, we're behind the eight ball. Maybe we haven't sold as much as, in hindsight, we should have. So we've been working through a lot of strategies on ways to kind of play some catch up and just talking about how to handle it if we do get those opportunities.
All right, for Jim, what about you?
Well, I think that's, Tyler named it. I mean, right now, the biggest question around the Midwest, I should say around the country, plain and simple, Susan, is what do we do with those bushels? The fact of the matter is the producer is very underpriced. We've seen a lot of pressure recently because of it. Here at the end of the month, at the end of the week of February, there's a lot of grain under basis contracts. They had to either roll those positions or price them. That put a lot of pressure on the market here recently. Now that we've passed that, I think there's a decent shot that we could set ourselves up for at least a temporary relief rally. But eventually that rally should be sold by producers.
And it should come as no surprise that there's a lot of corn out there in the countryside.
There's no doubt about it. Remember, the government came out and said it is going to be a big crop. We will kind of get a revision of that potentially. Remember, we do get a quarterly grain stock report as well as an acreage report here at the end of March. And sometimes we will get a little bit of revisions on those stocks where they might have found bushels or lost bushels when they essentially recount the crop.
All right. What are your thoughts on these acreage? I mean, we talk about, the acreage war we might have coming forward. Is it going to be corn versus beans, or as Jim was telling me, cotton could be thrown into this whole game?
Yeah, you've got cotton that's gone wild in the last couple months. That's going to kind of play a role in how that acreage shift. You got corn prices well below where they were 2 years ago. We had a very large corn crop this last year. We're not going to be that high again. But beans are going to, it appears right now, beans will probably pull some more acres in just because of the price ratio between beans and corn. One of the things, I'm up in North Dakota, and one of the things we're looking at is there's a good chance we'll see fewer spring wheat acres. Spring wheat has really kind of taken a dive with corn. And we've got a couple crush plants coming online in eastern North Dakota. So we're kind of working under the assumption that those crush plants are going to draw some more acres into that eastern side of North Dakota into beans and away from spring wheat. Might be a little bit of a positive news for spring wheat growers in that area.
And we have two coming online in Nebraska, one this year, one early next year. So it just adds a whole new dynamic to the soybeans.
Yeah, and people in the industry have been talking about this for the last 2 years. Maybe we got the cart ahead of the horse just a little bit on how that was going to affect the bean market. It's going to be a story that plays out over the next couple of years as we switch from mostly shipping beans overseas and exporting them to now, most of the beans are going to get consumed domestically through these crush plants.
So I'm curious, how does cotton, Jim, fit into this whole picture as folks talk about it?
Well, how it fits in is it's really caught a bid over the last 2 months, the first 2 months of the trading year. A lot of money's coming in. The stocks of the old crop are getting tight. It's brought a lot of investor money in, and it's pulling the old crop up. It's also pulling the new crop up. So what we're looking for, producers, you go a little bit further south, down Arkansas south, into cotton country, I think cotton is going to buy some acres. You could see, the USDA had 3 million less acres of corn, 3 million more acres of beans. I could see 3 million less acres of corn, but maybe only 2 million acres of beans, or maybe even less, like Tyler said. maybe a little bit of wheat. We'll see. But I think the South is making the market is making a bid for cotton acres in the South, and I think it's going to succeed.
Well, Tyler's talking about the spring wheat. What about the winter wheat? What are you hearing with this crop?
Right now, the winter wheat overall looks pretty good. I mean, there's a little bit of concern of dryness, but overall, it's been a relatively minor winter. You know, there's some talk about that fire that's raising here. We're in South Texas or North Texas, what that might do to some of these wheat. Right now, we don't think it's a huge problem. The biggest problem of the wheat right now is price. The wheat market, anybody knows, we ended the week really on a negative tone. A lot of that has to do with the price of wheat in Russia, in Ukraine. They continue to drive the prices down. What they're trying to do is buy market share. They need to sell the wheat to finance the wars on both fronts. That's unfortunately because that is making us non-really price competitive.
Does it come as a surprise that Russia's doing a wheat dump like it is?
No, it's not. I mean, like I said, they need to finance a war. The other thing is they had a big crop. That's the reality. They have an oversupply. So, you know, the market's trying to find a little bit of equilibrium, but that could change on a dime, especially with what's going on in the Ukraine. Right now, the president of the Ukraine came out and said, hey, look, guys, we're running out of ammunition, plain and simple. And if we run out of ammunition, we're going to have to make decisions on what territory we're going to defend. And he hinted at maybe he would shut down that grain corridor. And it's been amazing how much grain has been able to come out of that corridor in the middle of a war zone. But if that corridor would shut down, you know what? It happens overnight in the market. You know, the market just assumes it's not going to happen. But if it does happen, the wheat, I believe, will rally as well as the corn. Because, like I said, they've been shipping an amazing amount of grain out in the midst of a war.
All right, Tyler, we don't get to talk North Dakota very often. And as you laugh, I kind of want to get the feel of what these crops are going to be like for you guys. I mean, you have a lot of different factors that will be weighed in, including whatever happens with the river, what happens with snow melt, if you even have a lot of snow up there at this point, which sounds like you don't. What's the feel for North Dakotans?
A lot of producers are starting to get a little bit nervous. You know, last year we had almost a record snow. We missed the record by like a quarter of an inch, which you'd just rather got it at that point. You know, we went into spring, really good conditions. I've lived up there for 15 years. It was the best growing season we've had for every crop. And you can see that in, reflected in prices. So, I mean, sunflowers are you can't hardly give them away in some places. They're below 10 cents a pound where they were 30 cents a pound a year ago. Canola prices have come down significantly in the last year. Wheat prices, I mean, we had huge wheat crops. I have growers in southwest North Dakota that grew twice what they would normally grow in a year. So we're sitting on huge stockpiles of grain up there, which is a good problem to have. You know, the problem that comes out of that is lower prices because we've just oversupplied the market. Now we're coming in. We've had no snow. Things are starting to dry up a little bit. There's some concern. I've been talking with some of my cow-calf guys. They're starting to come up with drought mitigation strategies in case this thing doesn't turn around. So, I mean, it's going to play a role in how farmers decide what type of crops they're going to put in the ground this year. You know, the one thing I can tell you, there will be significantly fewer sunflower acres. Number one, the price has been so poor. And number two, it's, you know, sunflowers require a lot of water and other nutrients. So you'll probably see that acreage number drop. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the wheat number drop as well. And I really think canola and soybeans are two of the ones that are probably going to see some acreage growth.
I want to switch for just a second, get your takeaway of what's been happening in this cattle market this week. I mean, to end on a high note, but know in our hearts and prayers go out to all those that have been affected in Nebraska, Oklahoma, parts of Kansas now, and obviously those million plus acres here in Texas.
So, yeah, it's been a wild week in the livestock market. I've had a lot of guys text me or call yesterday wanting to know why feeder cattle were down $3. My standard response is because it was Thursday. Any day that ends in Y, you're probably going to, I mean, we're at almost, you know, $275 feeders, $270 feeders on the board. That's a really high price. And when you've got a commodity that's that high priced over where it normally is or that far away from the mean price, you're going to have big swings. And if you don't, if that makes you uncomfortable watching it be down $3 or $4 in one single day, you know, there's a lot of steps you can take to throw in some risk management strategies and kind of protect yourself so you don't have to worry about that. Because I don't see that slowing down anytime over the next 12 months.
I was just going to ask you, what do you foresee going into the near future now that we're into the month of March?
Well, we know we haven't started rebuilding that cow herd. On the latest cattle on feed report, it's something to the effect of like 40% of the cattle going into feedlots are heifers, which tells us we're not you know, we should be holding back 20-25% if we really want to rebuild that cow herd. We're not doing that. We're sending those heifers into the feedlots. So we're going to stay with low cow numbers for at least the next 12 months, probably next 12-24 months. Maybe we start to see some herd rebuilding as we move into the later stages of this year. Bottom line, those supply numbers are going to stay tight. That's going to support this thing. But at the end of the day, it's always what we don't see coming that comes and kicks us in the face. And that's what I'm trying to prepare my customers for. I don't know if it, you know, I don't know what that thing is, but you've got the opportunity to lay into some hedges or some protection that essentially protect a record calf crop. So don't be afraid to do it.
All right, what about for grains? What are we going to look at? We're into the month of March now.
Well, hopefully we're looking for a little bit of a dead cat bounce. Like I said, everything's oversold. The funds have been carrying a record short position in the corn, near record in the wheat, in the beans. They normally don't carry that too long, Susan. They eventually will get out. Remember, we're going into the season. Some people call it the two season, too wet, too dry, too cold. Parts of Iowa, part of Western Corn Belt, still very, very dry. That's going to be up for debate. You're going to hear people talk about the acres, the safrinha crop in Brazil. We'll see how that develops. The Argentina crop hasn't pollinated yet. So we are looking for a rally. We would argue, though, if we do get that rally, producers need to be active and try to defend and try to go ahead and market some grain. We're also encouraging producers to consider buying extra puts, maybe $4, $3.90 puts below the market, because unfortunately we just finished setting the crop insurance here this month of February, and the prices are dramatically lower than they've been the last couple of years. So your crop insurance revenue-wise is just not going to give you the floor you're used to. So you're going to have to figure out a way to kind of protect your own equity besides or in addition to the crop insurance.
All right, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you guys?
Best way is just go to agmarket.net. You can sign up for our research. We've got a great new app coming out that helps you market your grain. So go to agmarket.net to get a free look of our research as well as our app.
All right, Tyler. Jim, thanks for joining us on this week's episode as we broadcast here from Commodity Classic. And as always, a reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.